Say hallelujah! Pack up the babies and grab the old ladies, because here comes the colonel. Hallelujah!
Yes, 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 the most auspicious introductions we get here right on the Science News Radio Network. Welcome back to the second half of The Promise of Tomorrow here on the Science News Radio Network, exploring the business of emerging science, nanotechnology, open innovation. I'm your host, I'm Colonel Mason. In just a minute, we're going to get back to Louis Gibault, who is a nuclear technology manager with L3 Systems. He's explaining to us why cargoes entering the United States are safe, because we're scanning them and using nanotechnology to do that. It is a fascinating thing, of course, in this program. At the end of the program, listener comments and the voice of reason. Right now, let's step over to our fountain of useless information we have here on the set for today's query. Huh? What do you say?
Welcome to the fountain of useless information. How can I help you?
Yes, I see. After throwing in the coins, we've aroused the old spirit of the fountain. Yes, old spirit of the fountain. Here's one you probably won't remember. What Pulitzer Prize-winning novelist whiled away 1969 by running for mayor of New York City? Can you remember? Pulitzer Prize-winning novelist in 1969. He didn't do much, but he ran for mayor of New York City. Who was it, old spirit of the fountain?
I have given you my answer, and now you may tell the others.
Aha! The spirit of the fountain put on his thinking cap. Well, how about you? Do you remember? Pulitzer Prize-winning novelist, who in 1969 didn't do much, but he did put his name in for mayor of New York City. Obviously, he didn't win, but who was it? If you said Norman Mailer, you've got a great memory. All right. Back to today's guest.
I just would like to read one thing that is important for the people listening to the program to understand what we're doing. Basically, what are the types of material we're trying to detect and interdict? They are essentially four broad categories. We do not want to see special nuclear materials in any of the containers, and these are basically weapons capable or weapon-grade material. We do not want to see dirty bomb materials such as radioactive and man-made material that comes from irradiating facility such as medical centers. Cesium-137, for example, is used widely in cancer therapy and has a long half-life. Could be used if mishandled, could end up into a radioactive dispersion device, an RDD, radiological dispersion device. So we do not want to see any of these industrial, in broad term, material which are highly radioactive, such as cesium-137, strontium, and others, cobalt. We do not want to see also some medical radioisotopes, which again could be dangerous, hazardous. And finally, we do not want to see neutrons in, neutron-emitting material. So broadly speaking, these are the four types of radioisotopes and neutrons that we are looking for.
The medical stuff too, you say, and that's kind of a surprise. I mean, is it because of what clandestine use of medical stuff, or is it because it can be more widely used to do more damage? What's the reason for the medical?
Well, there could be a diversion to unauthorized use. Obviously, medical, radioisotopes are helpful very helpful in therapeutic treatment. But we do not want to see them unauthorized transport through containers. I mean, some of them are very short half-life, so it's not an issue. I mean, we want to see the proper permitting for the transport of nuclear material, and we don't want to see basically dispersion of radioactive elements in containers. Let me give you an example. On the IAEA, is the International Atomic Energy Agency, is tracking very diligently interception of illicit trafficking of nuclear material of all kinds. And in recent times, in recent years, I'm talking about statistics of 2011, we have seen an increase in the mishandling of industrial material that end up in metal smelters. resulting in the contamination of a batch of steel. So obviously this is something we have to guard against, because once you have melted a source of cesium inside, assuming that there was no intent in the first place to do an RDD device, but when you have cesium that has been melted as part of a large steel batch, well, the steel batch is contaminated for a long time, and that's not good for, industry in general.
Yeah, well, I can see where the dangers would certainly be there. That's, and I'm glad you explained that. And, of course, you say about the NSA, that's the National Nuclear Security Agency, but what is NORM, N-O-R-M?
NORM, it's a good question. NORM is essentially, and the statistics vary on that, basically you have between 4 and 22% of the containers that transport naturally occurring radioactive material, such as ceramics, some industrial components, catheter, potassium, etc. So the challenge of radiation detection is to be able to find the source of interest, even in the presence of containers containing NORM. I mean, NORM obviously you would alarm at the portal, at the radiation portal, because obviously it emits gamma, but you would let that go because it would be well characterized. But the challenge is to obviously detect the source of interest, even in the presence of NORM. So that's why we are designing system today to filter NORMs, but yet catch the radioactive material that I just mentioned to you, the four categories, inside NORM.
Is this going to be an increasing problem? I mean, when we get a handle on this, are we going to have a handle on it, or are we going to have to constantly be updating our defenses and our ability to detect these things?
Well, it's a long-term, obviously, undertaking. We are working today with various kinds of, detector materials, which are driven by ever-increasing smart, algorithm, detection algorithm and threat algorithm. So I think we are doing the very best today with the radiation the detector materials that are currently in production, but the research is evolving such that tomorrow we will have even better detector material to be included in our radiation detection portals, and this will be driven again by correspondingly more sophisticated, if you will, threat and detection algorithms. So there is a rate of refresh as the technology produces better and better material, detection materials, perhaps every 5 years or 10 years, because the technology of detector material is that of crystals, if you will, or the science of materials. And so this doesn't make change rapidly. I mean, we have to basically test that in the lab and make sure that this is a stable material, it has all the right property before being fabricated, obviously.
Wow, well, you talked about smart bombs, you talked about a whole bunch of things, but I mean, is there getting to be more sophisticated, I guess I could refer to the question, is there going to be more sophisticated ways of disguising the offensive material so it's be harder and harder to detect all the time? And incidentally, what sort of volume are we talking about in the most recent years of this material coming in?
Well, that we cannot talk about, but I can give you simply an idea of the volume of transport of containers in the world. There's currently, by official statistics, roughly 550 million containers that are transported around the routes of, maritime routes of the globe.
Okay, all right.
We have about 25 million containers coming to the United States, roughly, in round numbers. So you can imagine the challenge to secure. Eventually, in a perfect world, we would inspect, we would know exactly what's inside each and every containers, but obviously this is not a feasible undertaking in the short term. We have to look for more practical solutions, such as high-risk containers, which is exactly what the DHS is doing.
Well, that's the other question: is what other cargo, do we have to deal with? I mean, is it mainly nuclear, or are there other things that we have to be concerned with?
But we're talking about all kinds of cargo, and obviously before a container is transported in towards the United States, it has, you know, the whole suite of documentation characterizing its contents, its origin, and that's why the that's where the CTPAT, which is the custom I mentioned that before, the custom trade partnership against terrorism comes into play. So in other words, we're trying to characterize and certify the shippers of cargo before they come to the United States. CTPAT stands for Trade Partnership Against Terrorism. And so we have a pretty good idea of what's coming to the U.S. through certified vendors and vetted vendors, and that helps tremendously streamlining the containers that are suspect origin, as you can imagine.
All right, well, L3 Systems offers a lot of stuff. I would ask you really off mic before we begin the interview about the CX Mobile G3 cargo scanner, but what are some of the solutions that L3 offers in terms of solutions for these problems? And are these systems integrated with X-ray scanner systems?
This is something that we are doing very actively with our, within the L3 SDS group. We are in the process of merging the X-ray capabilities with the radiation detection capabilities, because 1 + 1 = 3 in that case, if you will, because the combining both the cargo image plus the radiation detection, the radiological information on the cargo provides a very good information that enables the custom officer to really do a better interdiction. So specifically in terms of radiation detection system, we provide what is called high resolution detection portals, which are based on a very well established but also very advanced technology of high purity germanium detector. This is a semiconductor detector that has a great laboratory almost quality resolution of the spectrum, because we are in spectroscopics, with most of our products. We also do gross gamma count, but most of our products look at the spectroscopy, that is the signature, the radiation signature of a product. And so the HR, which stands for high resolution, is really the Rolls Royce, if you will, of portal. So we are offering that as a very good product. The other portal, which the inconvenience of the high resolution portal is that because of its fine detection capabilities, the conveyance has to go through the portal at a lower speed, and sometimes it's undesirable for the port operator, which is looking to maximize the throughput through the portal. So what we offer instead is a first line, if you will, a high throughput portal, which is called the isotope group classification. And the HR portal is used as a secondary scan. When we find something on this high throughput portal, we refer for further confirmation of the isotope in question, we refer the truck or the conveyance to the HR. That makes sense?
Well, about you're way down the road with me on this. It's more practical. I think in terms of thinking about what happens when you discover this stuff, then you report it to the United States authorities, who then you quarantine it, and then find out what it is, and then determine what to do with the substance from there. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, there's a whole suite of protocol that is called, which is part of the conduct of operation, the CONOPS, which each port is bound to. And obviously, we cannot talk about the, logistics details. I mean, they are obviously inter-port and inter-nation agreement, so we are not going to dwell into that. But yes, the container in question would be isolated, and there would be a whole suite of confirmatory protocol to confirm the nature of the cargo and dispose of it.
All right, well, everybody keeps talking about smart bombs getting into the country and some of the other things and happening, but you seem to tell us that we could probably relax a little bit, because it looks like L3 Systems and the whole mechanism of protecting the United States from clandestine nuclear material coming in seems to be pretty well protected. What do you see as the biggest challenge down the road?
Well, the biggest challenge on the road is obviously to keep refreshing these technologies and ensuring that all the partners of the global nuclear detection architecture, if you will. You know, I mentioned at the beginning of this discussion there were two vectors, and under the U.S. leadership, we are basically evolving towards a global nuclear detection architecture, which we hope that many countries would be signatory to that. But eventually, we would like to have a world free of illicit trafficking of nuclear materials. It's a big undertaking.
Yeah, I guess, with all the volume of the containers that you're telling me that come into this country, and that's just this country. I mean, we're looking at our other countries that we're allied with around the world, including Taiwan and other Asian countries, Japan, the Philippines, and of course all of Europe and the NATO countries and others. So it just seems like there's an awful lot of opportunity for people to create mischief if we don't have these detection facilities. And I guess that's the other question: is the volume obviously of these containers is going to increase? Are we going to be up to the job of scanning all of these?
You know, that's why the multi-layer approach makes sense. I think it's very, very important to understand that, you know, this is not a single point of scanning. I mean, there are multiple opportunities, starting with how you basically load the containers through the CTPAT program and having shippers vetted to the program. That's a very important element. Continuing through CSI inspection, continuing through Megaport initiative, continuing through various other national programs. You know, we've been talking mostly about U.S. Centric program, but there are other countries in Europe also taking a very active role in scanning containers, such as Holland. Holland is very advanced in scanning containers. So, to answer your question about the increase of container volume, I mean, we are not going to go from 550 million containers to a billion containers, you know, tomorrow. This is going to be hovering around that numbers for a number of years. So I think we're putting in place sufficient depth and sufficient infrastructure to be able to handle that in not only now but for the forthcoming years.
Louis, I have to ask you, I mean, you said Holland is just very, very good at scanning containers, but, you know, with kind of a smile on my face, I'm thinking about the audience right now that are listening, and they're saying, what does Holland have to protect anyway but a bunch of brothels and pot smokers? I mean, really, is Holland really that diligent?
Well, Holland is a very, when you look at one of the main growth vectors of Holland, it's really commerce and trading. And so Rotterdam, for example, another Dutch port, are very active in protecting, you know, their commerce, because they don't want any incident to happen in Holland. Mm-hmm. I mean, that basically affects their rating on the world market. So they are very active, and they're doing that very well, I must say.
Well, just a bit, I'm going to ask you to give us kind of a peek down the road into the future and maybe make a prediction for us and what we can maybe expect in the years to come. But before we get there, is there anything that we've missed? Is there something that we needed to cover today that I forgot to ask you about, that we wanted to be able to drive home with L3 systems, and a point you want to make about maybe the L3 system solutions or what you're going to be doing at the Homeland Security Technologies Conference?
Well, we are first and foremost customer-centric. So, you know, we've been talking mostly today about the maritime aspect, but obviously there's rail containers, you know, scanning containers on rail. This is a challenge, and this is happening also as we speak. There are other forms of transport that we are going to expand this scanning to, such as, you know, we're currently doing that. Obviously, L3 is uniquely positioned in the world with the X-ray of checked-in baggage. We are going to work towards adding a radiation detection component to that, so that's a plus. I think in concluding, I'd like to tell you that I'm very proud of what the United States has done to date, because this multi-layered approach and this global nuclear detection architecture, which is currently being formed, is really the answer to this vibrant, you know, making sure that the commerce is still vibrant and going through without any additional impact to throughput and yet protecting us. So I think we're very fortunate to be in the country which is leading that effort.
All right. That's a nice thing to say. Now then, what about the future? I mean, you want to take a stab at it. This could be something serious, could be something frivolous. You know, maybe that France is going to win the World Cup in soccer, or if you want to get more serious and predict, maybe get a prediction, something that has to do with your specialty field of nuclear technology. What do you see? Put on the meditation cap here for just a minute and look into the future and tell us what you see 5, 10, 15, or even longer down the road.
Well, I think we're going to see, you know, again, driven by the U.S., the emergence of perhaps nanotechnology into radiation detection. I think we have seen the seeds of that growth vector, making radiation detection material even smarter and even more capable. And I really believe that scanning containers, even though, you know, it looks formidable numbers, you know, 25 million containers coming to the U.S., I think we can tackle that job one container at a time, and we can do it. I said that, you know, in the United States, we have been blessed with being provided with the right infrastructure, the right, the right partnership, the right tools, to be able to advance the state of radiation detection technology. And I think over the past, when you look back at 2001 today to today, we are roughly 11 years, I mean, tremendous advances have been made in the capability of radiation detectors. And that's to the credit of the federal agencies that have funded this effort by and large.
All right, that's sensational. Louis Gibeau, the nuclear technology manager with L3 Systems, sponsor of the IEEE Homeland Security Technologies Conference going on in Boston, Massachusetts, November 13th through the 15th. You've been very kind with your time. We appreciate so much you being with us today and giving us a great explanation of how we can feel safe in this country because we are scanning the containers that are coming in, and that will keep us safe. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you. Nice being with you today. Take care.
And at this time, I want to thank you very much for those of you who have contributed to this program. We depend on contributions from listeners like you for the existence of this show. We're totally science community supported. So those of you who have contributed, thank you very much. Those of you who wish to can do so at our website, promiseoftomorrow.biz. On the right-hand side of your screen, you'll see a little tab there for donations. Just click the donations, and we appreciate all your help.
And now, we make time for the voice of reason. Listener comments, ideas, and suggestions.
Look, you just can't, you can't fight truth. You can't fight truth. And you need to back off and realize what the truth is. So many people try to re-spin the truth in a way that's advantageous to their arguments. You know, my great lesson as a strategist is that truth is like gravity. I mean, it is there whether you like it or not. So quit taking your agenda into every fight and walk into the arguments asking what's ground truth, what do the facts tell us, let's look at the numbers, and let's reason our way to a conclusion that we can all live with. Let's figure out what constitutes success and then look at the system and sort of reason our way forward without an agenda. And then when we get to the conclusion, we can decide how much of that solution our agenda, our personal agenda, lets us buy. But reasoning based on emotion, that's a conflict you're going to have a hard time dealing with. Truth always wins out. Seek it. This is Dr. Dave McIntyre. I'm Director of Homeland Security at the National Graduate School.
So you decide, has this really been the voice of reason? Listener comments are welcome at 214-329-4949. And please tell us your name and where you're from.
You've been listening to The Promise of Tomorrow with Colonel Mason, the definitive program on emerging and nanotechnologies, now archived and streamed on the web at promiseoftomorrow.biz. Join us next week at the same time as we learn more about the promise of tomorrow.
I am waiting for you.